I'm not letting you go until you bless me. God said, good deal. I'll bless you. I'll bless you real good. But he turns around to Jacob and he says, what's your name? Now, God knew Jacob's name because he appeared to Jacob. He said, my name is Jacob. God's shaking his head. He's saying, man, boy, I've been wrestling with you all night. All night. And yeah, I'm going to bless you. And that's all you could tell me is your name is Jacob? No, no, no. He said, you know what I've done here, Jacob? This is the message. Listen carefully, church. He says, your name is no longer Jacob, okay, which means con artist, manipulator, which means all these bad things. He was the first con artist in the Bible, okay, so to speak. He knew how to manipulate. God said, your name is no longer Jacob, but now your name is Israel. And what was God saying? Now you have power with God. Now you have power with man. Now you have favor with God, and now you have favor with man, because I have changed your name. Church of God, God says that he's going to give us a new name, and he's going to put a stone in our hand, and a new name is going to be written. Praise God. We've got a new name, and God wants to act through us through that new name. But what do we revert to? We revert back to Jacob. So many people play games of manipulation, strategies, philosophies, psychologies to get what they want. Listen, when you allow God to wrestle with you, God's going to ask you a question. He's going to say, what's your name? You see, what's the message that God was trying to give to Jacob is the same message that God is trying to give to us. God is trying to say, I've changed your name. I've changed who you are. You are not the old person anymore, but you are now the new creature in Christ. You are the new person in Christ. And sometimes we just don't act in that operating image. We act like we're poor me. We act like we're down, decrepit, on the side of the road of a Model T Ford that's rusted out, instead of being a king's kid or a son and daughter of God and hearing that voice of God and allow God to appear into our soul and into our spirit and speak a principle to us. Why are we so afraid of God? Why are we so afraid of the message that he wants to bring us, knowing that if we make certain decisions, it's only going to bring us misery? You know, again, as I do most every week, I say to the church in prison, your best thinking got you here, fellas. You think maybe you need some other thoughts other than yourselves to guide your life? Look at you, man. How long are you going to continue to do this? I'm not trying to shame you or disrespect you, but as a man of God, I'm trying to catapult you out of the seat of the past, the seat of a DIN number, the seat of some identification on your shirt that you belong to the state. It's time that we give up that label and have a new thing on our thing, that I am the property of God, not the Department of Corrections or the state of New York. Come on, people. And us the same, those of us that are out in the world, we can't have this thing, on our lapel saying, yeah, Satan controls me and I'm not going to do what God wants me to do and I'm just this old operating image. No, my God, your name isn't Jacob anymore. Your name is Israel, and God is starting to speak to you. So what's your name, you have to ask yourself this morning? Because how you identify yourself will tell you how you're making decisions. If you say your name is Jacob, you're making those decisions haphazardly and in a way that's not going to bless you. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Moses. Now Moses kept the flock of his Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord, appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Now, fellas, ladies and gentlemen, God appeared that day to Moses. And what was the message? Well, the message followed in verse 12 of Exodus 3. And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. Moses had to be shocked and said, wait a minute. I've been on the backside of the desert for 40 years. Now, I don't think Moses was on the backside of the desert for 40 years and didn't inquire about God. I don't believe that. I believe Moses had a relationship with God on the backside of the desert. I believe Moses thought about a lot of stuff. But I didn't think Moses had the thought that God was going to appear in a burning bush. And one day God stopped him. And what did God say? Now let's look at the life of Moses for a moment. 40 years ago, after he came, before he came to the desert, he killed an Egyptian. He left the palace of Pharaoh where he lived for 40 years. He would have been the next Pharaoh, no doubt. He would have been the most powerful man in the world ruling Egypt. But he saw transgression. He saw inhumane behavior, persecution. And he ended up killing an Egyptian who was abusing a Jew. And he ran. And he left. He goes to the backside of the desert. God appears to him and says, I'll be with you. And Moses is saying, to do what? To go back to Egypt where you failed. To go back to the same foot of the mountain that you ran away from. So that you can lead 3 million Jews across the Red Sea into freedom. And I'm sure Moses, like I would have, and you would have, looked around and said, I think you sent the text message and the memo to the wrong person. Because you know what? I'm a shepherd. And I take care of my father-in-law's flock, and I'm really good at it. I know sheep. I know animals. I know how to farm. I'm really good at this. God said, I don't care how good you are at this. I'm sending you back to the land of Egypt to free my people and get this message, Moses. I will be with thee. What's the principle? What are we afraid of? You know what people say? All the time. I'm afraid to fail. Okay? You're afraid to fail, which means you've already failed, and you play it safe, really close, and you set up your life so you don't fail again. So now God is our God, and he has a sense of humor, and he's saying, look how you're controlling yourself, Jacob, or if you're a female, Jacobess. Look how you're controlling your life. You only venture into things that are safe. You only venture into things that you can control. You only venture into things that can cause you to be successful. So God comes along and catapults you out of that place of safety and says, this is what you're doing. Well, I'm not prepared. Of course you're not. That's why you need me. Certainly I will be with thee. You don't need to be afraid of failure or moving out. That's what God was trying to say to the disciples in the book of Luke chapter 5 when he said, can you push the boat out a little into the lake so I can preach? But after he preached, he said, why don't you cut the shoreline and push the boat out into the middle of the lake? But Lord, we fished all night and we caught nothing. And the Lord said, put your net on the other side. Venture out, professional fishermen. This is beyond your control. Of course you're not supposed to fish in the Sea of Galilee during the day. God says, I know all that. I created the Sea of Galilee. But trust me, get out of your comfort zone and put it on the net on the other side. And when they put the net on the other side, praise God, they no longer were afraid of failure. They succeeded with so much fish that the boat started to sink. And it made such an impression on them that they said goodbye to their father, said, you've got the fishing business, and they started to follow Jesus. Lord, have mercy, folks. This is an exciting life to be a Christian. God said to Moses in Exodus 3:16, go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared unto me saying, now he's going to go tell men, listen, men, God appeared to me. Try to go tell that to a bunch of men. Try to go tell that to a bunch of people in a church that the Lord spoke to you. Appeared unto me saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. What was God saying? I'm going to alleviate the affliction in your life. The Bible says in Psalm 34:17, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and deliver them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of all of them. That's the principle that God spoke to Moses in the book of Exodus that is applicable to us today. People stay in misery. It becomes their story. It becomes their epitaph. It becomes their operating image. It becomes their storyline. God's saying, I want to visit that, and I want to conquer that, and I want to remove that and get that out of your life so you can move on with life. A lot of people just aren't moving on with life. We're staying stuck. Our conversation is past and not present and future. And you can't help anyone if your conversation isn't up to date. You have to allow God to appear to you. Say, what, come on, Pastor. What are you talking about? I'm not Moses. I'm not Noah. I'm not Jacob. I'm not Isaac. I'm not all these men. Exodus 24:9. Then went up Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the Lord God of Israel. And there was under his feet as if it were paved work of a sapphire stone, as it were the body of heaven in its clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand. Also they saw God and did eat and drink. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me in this mountain and be there. And I will give thee the tables of stone and the law and the commandments which I have written unto thee that thou mayest teach them. God has given us the stones and the tablets and the principles and the word of God and the promises of God. And they're in this book. But people don't want this book like they used to want this book. I'll do it my way. I don't need the word of God. I don't need the principles of God. I don't need the leading of God. I don't need to have a conversation with God every day so God can lead me and guide me into all truth. I'll just do it on my own. I'm a smart person. How smart are we? Let me continue for a few more moments. Solomon, 1 Kings 3:5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, listen to this. Ask what I shall give thee. Ask what I shall give thee. Listen, when you go to the store and you can't find what you're looking for, what's the first thing you do? You ask someone. You find a storekeeper. You find someone that's working there. And excuse me, sir or ma'am, can you tell me where the confectionery sugar is? Aisle 19. Thank you. And you go to the particular aisle and you find your sugar. What's wrong with us? That we can't apply this principle that God gave to Solomon. As he appeared to him in a dream and he said, ask what I shall give thee. So my question to you and to myself is, what do I need from God? Luke chapter 11 verse 9 says, and I say unto you, This is Jesus in the New Testament. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Is that the word of God? How can we contend with it? How can we just can't take the simple word of God and say, Lord, what are you saying to me? God is saying, listen, I want to give you what you need. We make such a big deal about it. We philosophize about it. Well, why would God be bothered with me? There's so many poor people in the world. There's people starving to death. My God, what does that have to do with your need? What does that have to do with your life? What does that have to do with your individuality? God cares about you like he cares about everyone else. Why should we be dismissed from the principles of God when God wants to bless us? But we talk ourselves out of it. So what did God do? 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 6. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before me in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, and thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. Now look at Solomon. Look, he's the king of Israel. Look at him. I'm just a little kid. Solomon, you're more than a little kid. You're the CEO of Israel. You're the king of Israel. You are the most powerful individual in the world, and you're referring to yourself as, I'm just a little child. Lord, have mercy. What's wrong with Solomon? He says, I'm but a little child. I don't know how to go out or come in. Do you still wear diapers? You don't know how to do potty? What are you talking about? And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. There's so many people here that I'm in charge of. Well, why would God put you in charge of people if you couldn't handle it? So he says, and he's smart at this moment, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked thyself long life, neither hast you asked for riches, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thy self-understanding to discern judgment. Now listen to this now. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. What's God saying? God's saying, I'll give you wisdom. The book of Proverbs says wisdom is the principal thing, is the most important thing. To have God's wisdom, to be a wise person, to give wise counsel. The Bible says in James chapter 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You know what we need nowadays? We need wisdom. And when we come to a situation in life and a predicament in life, we need to ask God for wisdom. That's the principle that God taught Solomon. So God came a second time to Solomon. 1 Kings 9. It came to pass when Solomon had finished the building of the house of the Lord, and the king's house and all Solomon's desire, which he has pleased to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time, as he appeared unto him at Gibeon. And the Lord said, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house which thou hast built to put my name there forever. And my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. And if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, in the integrity of heart and uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and will keep my statutes and my judgments, listen to the principle, then I will establish the throne of the kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. What's God saying? What's the principle? He wants to establish us in the last day. He wants to set our feet. He wants to set us in the place of his anointing and of his power and of his success and of his prosperity. He wants to establish us. We look upon ourselves as some minority. And yes, maybe by number in the world, we might be a numerical minority. But with God and ourselves, we become the majority. And when God says, I want to establish you, he establishes us with his power, with his covenant, with his blessing, with his anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage. We must see ourselves as saints of God, established in this world, set our affections upon high before God. Many don't see themselves established. And because they don't ask for wisdom, they go back and forth like a tennis ball in a tennis match, and they become double-minded in all their ways. They can't make up their mind what life is supposed to be for them. Now let me come to a conclusion. I sought out the different appearances of God, and these are not all, but certain principles that could be taught this morning that apply to us. John the disciple was 96 years old, old man, banished to the Isle of Patmos. Now listen, this is fellowship. This is the secret of God upon my tabernacle. He says, I, John, whom also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God. And for the testimony of Jesus Christ, I was in the Spirit, capital S, on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned, verse 12, look, I turned to see the voice that spake with me. You talk about an appearance. I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks was one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool and white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and were dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write these things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and which the things which shall be hereafter. What was God saying? You're an isolated island. You're 96 years old. You've been forsaken. They tried to boil you in oil and they couldn't kill you. And they banished you for preaching the gospel. But know this, John. The voice that you heard is the Lord that you see. Now you stay there with me for one moment as I come to a close. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. This is you and me and God appearing to us. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Wait a minute. Didn't God have a meal with Moses? Wait a minute. Didn't God break bread with Moses? God, you actually want to have lunch with me? You actually want to break bread with me? Lord, how do I do that? Oh, God says it's very simple. When you go to John chapter 4 and verse 23, this is the appearance of God to the church. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That's the appearance of God in the church. That's the appearance of God in the individual life. That's the secret of God that's come upon my tabernacle. It's personal. It's familiar. And it's continual conversation with God. Just like Enoch walked with God, Noah, and all the rest that I've preached about today. But that's not the end. Because, my friend, every bride who gets married plans this wonderful wedding. Food, plates, desserts, dresses, the whole nine yards. And preparation time usually is at least a year to book some place to have a wedding. And you know the big regalas that go on. Some cost $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 for one day that the bride doesn't even remember after the wedding is over. She has to look at pictures or videos because there's so much commotion and so much activity. But God has reserved something for us. And God has been planning this since the foundation of the earth. And God says, wouldn't it be nice if I can have dinner with all of my children? Wouldn't it be nice to have all of my children home at one time? And we can sit around the table and we can break bread, praise God. And we can glorify God as the angelic choir sings, holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are filled with your glory. John said on that island in Revelation 19, and a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto them, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven open, behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called followed the word of God, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it it should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Praise God. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're going to have dinner. I said we're going to have dinner. Yeah, not at Doug's Fish Fry. Not at Laskins or the Sunset. But we're going to have dinner in the throne room of God. Listen to me. This is the most exciting time to be alive in the earth. And it's only going to be exciting if we decide to follow God. Because he has so much in store for his children. He has so much in store for the saints of God. That if we follow him, I'm truly blessed to think this and believe this. That he will bless us beyond our imagination. Sarah laughed at the idea of having a child. I said Sarah laughed at the idea of having a child. I'll close with this one story of a miracle. This lady I had read somewhere in the past was in China. And she was pregnant. And she couldn't get out of China. And she was beyond 9 months pregnant. She ended up being 13 months pregnant before the Underground Railroad in China can get her out of that country. And as she got into another safe area, she gave birth to a child that God held in her womb for 13 months. And in the same way, when missionaries used to go into communist countries with Bibles in their trunk, and they came to a place where the soldiers were going to search them at a search station, and they opened the trunk, God blinded the eyes of those soldiers, and they did not see any of those Bibles in the trunk of that car. Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard me say this many, many times. I believe in the last days, God's desire is for us to do miracles through him on the doorstep of the devil. We're at that point. For those that desire to sup with God, for those that desire to allow God to appear to them spiritually, in dreams, in night visions, to allow God, he said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. God will pour out his spirit upon the church for those that desire to receive it. He'll pour out upon his handmaidens, on his prophets, his apostles, his pastors, his teachers, his church members. God will raise us up in the last day to do exploits, as it says in the book of Daniel. God appeared in the Old Testament for reasons, to teach us the principles that he wants us to apply in our lives in this present moment. The Lord is coming. I said the Lord is coming. The question is, will he find faith on the earth when he returns? I believe he will, because there will be a remnant church and a raptured church, and that church will have the faith to believe that they'll be part of the marriage supper of the Lamb. God bless you, and thank you for listening this morning.